Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is awakening the soul, which is otherwise in a dormant state. This chanting will bring out natural remembrance and love for Krishna. That is the nature of the chanting. Because the holy name and Krishna are not different. And there are different ways that one can get the benefit from this chanting. If one simply hears the chanting, one is receiving benefit. If one is participating in the chanting, one gets more benefit. And by leading the chanting, one gets the most. That's why I want to lead the chanting. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra is our saving grace. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra makes all the difference. Because in this age, weakness is the predominant quality. We have no determination to perform any tapas, any austerity. Principles of Dharma are now difficult to follow. But somehow or other, this Harinam Sankirtan, when it stays with us, it awakens in us some enthusiasm. Gradually, little by little, it takes over and it brings out some enthusiasm to serve Krishna. And devotional service to Krishna is the only mode of life. So I'll go up there and continue some presentation on this topic of initiation. Thank you very much.
Om Ajnana Timarendasya Yenandana Salakaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasini Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhavanam Janmanamante Jnanamapu Mam Prabhajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita speaks about Mahatmas, or great souls. Souls that will dedicate their lives to Krishna. Said, such a position is rarely attained. Bhavanam Janmanamante, after many births, only then can one come to the point of Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. That Vasudeva is everything. That we make Krishna the first priority in our life. Who will do? Krishna is there. Jai Sri Krishna. Ah yes, Krishna. Ah, Krishna Manta hai. Krishna is nice. But who will make Krishna the priority? That is very rare. It takes certain qualities. Kunti Devi says, Janma Aishwarya Sutra Sivir Edamanam Adapumam Nevardhya Vidatum Vayatram Akinchana Gocharam. Kunti Devi says, one must be materially exhausted. One must be tired from taking pride in aristocratic birth, in bank balance, in learning, in beauty, all these things. Temporary fruits. What is the benefit of chasing after these temporary goals in life? Therefore, Bhavanam Janmanam Ante Jnanamam Prabhajate. After so many lives, so many births, we have finally come to the point. We say, no. No more will I chase after these illusory goals. Or not that there are no needs in life. It is winter, we need winter dress, and somehow or other everybody has something. It is, we are in the material world, we need some education, we need some funds, and somehow or other all these things, they come, we manage, somehow or other we continue and manage to get our material needs fulfilled. But is that the goal of life? Work? Work and be happy? Is that the goal of life? No, the goal of life is rather a higher goal in life. It is the goal to serve Krishna spontaneously from the heart, because he's wonderful. Not because he gives us so many things. Srila Prabhupada explains that so many are approaching Krishna as the order supplier. Oh Lord, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz and these kind of varieties? Oh Lord, Danam Dehi, Upavati Dehi, Upabharyam Dehi, please provide for my bodily existence, everything, my Lord. Oh yes, provide us with wealth and health, aristocracy, and provide us with long life, provide us with endless material facilities. But Bhavanam Janmanamante, after many births, he says, no, these things cannot satisfy. No, these things are secondary. The primary objective in life is to please Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. So that is our meditation. Somehow or other, Krishna, the merciful, supreme personality of Godhead, who is the most wonderful, it is to satisfy Krishna. That is our satisfaction. And nothing else can satisfy us. That is the beginning. The English word to initiate means to make a beginning. It means to make a beginning. So that is an appropriate word, because we are making a beginning, a new beginning, a new we enter into this ceremony as one person, and we come out of the ceremony as another person. We will never be the same, because it is not a mere ritual. Rather, it is full of meaning. What we are about to witness and to partake in is to connect with Krishna, to solemnly vow that we will dedicate our life to the service of Krishna. Nothing else is now important in life. Service to Krishna. Very difficult to concentrate. we dedicate all of our activities to Krishna. Yat kurusi, yat pasasi, yat juhusi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi, kunteya, tat kurusva mat arpanam. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we offer in sacrifice, whatever austerity we will perform, all these things we will do for the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita becomes our life. The Bhagavad Gita becomes the book on which we base our activities. We see through the eyes of the Bhagavad Gita. Na jayate mriyate vakada chin yam bhutva na bhuya ajo nichum saswato yam pura hanyate hanyamane sarir. We understand that the soul is eternal. We understand that Krishna is eternal. And we understand that our eternal relationship with Krishna is what we invest in. And we try to increase our investments in this relationship with Krishna. On this day of initiation, there are many activities that are part of the initiation. There is a ceremony, and our pujari Aniruddha Prabhu, who is very expert at these ceremonies, has made all the preparations. And the essence is that Krishna is present. We see a small yajnashala. We see a kumbha, a pot with the coconut, representing Krishna himself. It is said Krishna is present in that form and witnessing the entire ceremony. Sometimes there are more pots, and then the principal demigods are also present. Now they are present in the form of mantra. So there are many witnesses. There are many, and these witnesses are not here just to witness the ceremony, but they're also blessing. At one point, our pujari will invoke the names of Krishna, the names of Srimati Radharani, the names of all the Vaishnava acharyas, and by doing so, each of these personalities will bestow blessings. Therefore, it's not a ceremony. Each mantra that is being chanted is adding to our credit. Because we realize that to take such a vow, to make Krishna the priority, is unusual. It basically means we're going to do the opposite from the rest of the world. The rest of the world is basically running after material things. The world is busy. Money, money, money. Ah, yes, somehow or other, by hook or crook, make the money. Bring more money. Yes, there is one little problem. We don't have enough money. So for the sake of money, since we are in England, I may as well quote some Shakespeare and say that Shakespeare is speaking about the deep, dark and sinful things that are behind all the wealth of the world. So that is a fact. Who can be rich and never have compromised standards of morality? Who can be rich and have never spoken a lie? Who can be rich without selling out? Who can be? It's very rare. But there are two types of riches. One type of riches is coming from Krishna. And that type of riches is due to great piety and purity. And that type of riches will remain. The other riches, that is the result of sinful activities and compromised behavior and manipulation and endless, endless exploitation. That kind of riches will come and go just like that. So the world is chasing after an illusion. It is a great soul, a wise person who is understanding, yes, Krishna is the priority. But wiser still is that person who realizes, but how can I do it alone? I am also weak. I am not strong. How will I be able to promise something for life, to give my entire life to Krishna? How can I promise? Life changes so much. You never know what circumstances will arise. How can one promise something which makes sense today but not sense tomorrow? And when the situation has changed so much, no. The vow is for life. The vows will stay. How? By prayer, by blessings. By the devotees seeking the blessings. Because by blessings, anything becomes possible. Therefore, this initiation depends on blessings, on seeking out blessings. Therefore we bow down to the spiritual master, bow down to the Vaishnavas, because by bowing down, we are pleasing Krishna. Man mana bhava mat bhakto majaji mam namaskuru mameva isyasi satyam te bhakti janam priyosu me. Krishna is saying, one who bows down to me is very dear to me. So this bowing down is more than a physical exercise. More than just bowing the body. This bowing down means to bow one's will, to bow one's independence for the Lord, to take the humble position and say, my Lord, your will is my pleasure. Whatever you desire, that is my desire. I have no other desire than your desire. That is bowing down for Krishna. So this day is based on that. There are 9 types of devotional service. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. It is said that hearing about Krishna, again and again, we must hear about Krishna. It is not difficult in this age where everyone can have some little electronic machine that can play recorded lectures in the kitchen or while cleaning the house or in the car or just when one peacefully is sitting in the morning when we rise. Somehow or other, hearing is very important. To hear about Krishna. Because by hearing about Krishna, we are awakening our taste. Shushusho sadadana sya vasudeva kitaru chi. By hearing about Krishna, we are developing the desire the desire for such Krishna katha. My devotees are deriving great bliss and satisfaction from discussing about me. That is it. Vayam tu navit priyamo tamasloka vikrame yat srimpatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. Devotees that are hearing about my glories, they are swadu. They are enjoying swadu swadu at every step. So there is the higher taste coming from this hearing. That is essential. Kirtanam. Chanting. Chanting of the holy name. This chanting is the first and foremost process of devotional service. Today, this initiation is mantra initiation. It is initiation in the mantra. Sometimes I'm saying today, on this day of initiation, you are receiving the mantra. And then they go, oh, it's like a birthday and you get a beautiful packet and you open it up and oh, something is inside that you already have. Today you're getting the holy name, but you already had it before. Already you were chanting. So now you're getting the gift of the holy name. So it's like, yeah, that's nice, but I already got it before, actually. I've been chanting for years now. Yes, but at this time of initiation, we are receiving that holy name along with the prayers. With the prayers of our spiritual master, with the prayers of the previous acharyas. All of these acharyas have made endless arrangements for conditioned souls to come. Our spiritual master has made arrangements and now is praying to Krishna. All the prayers of all the acharyas are there, and that makes a big difference in our chanting now after the initiation. Our chanting is not the same. Because not only are we accepting vows, but the spiritual master is also accepting us. And now he will pray on our behalf. So it is a great change, a great blessing. Everything turns for the better. Then the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. From hearing chanting comes automatically remembering of Krishna. How can we not remember Krishna when you hear about him, when you chant about him? And when we remember Krishna, then we don't worry about the material world. Because then the material world becomes smaller and smaller. Asochanam vasochastram pragyavacham sabasase katasuna katasuchanam sushanti pantaha. It is explained, Krishna says to Arjuna, that you are mourning for words, for things that are not worthy of grief. The wise neither laments nor hankers. This is a fact. Nothing to lament, because these material things are well. They come and go. Today I was talking about with someone who is getting older about getting older, and I'm older than him, right? So if people younger than me start talking about getting older, that's when you start to think, okay, I must be really old, you know. Yes, but I don't worry about that, you see. The thing is, when you're getting old, you know, you can't do what you used to, you know what I mean? But sometimes you can. I was in South Africa in a program. And in this program, there were many people, and it was quite a program, with Sri Prahlad leading the kirtan, Indrajumna Maharaj leading the dances, Govinda Maharaj had cooked the feast. And so it was really going on. So everyone was sort of on cloud nine. But there was one old lady. She was seated on a chair at the side, watching the fun. Then one brahmachari came up to her and said, "Do you want to dance?" And then she said, "Yes." And then she went and she danced and danced. And at one point they hooked arm and started flying in circles. And at the end the old lady said, "I didn't have so much fun in 40 years. We can transcend old age sometimes. But as the years go on, one materially, one loses a little bit. But spiritually it's the opposite. Every day we get the benefit of our service. And tomorrow we start off where we left off yesterday. And we continue. And so the years in service to Krishna work in our favor. It only gets better. For the devotee, only gets better because more and more service. Therefore, yes, let us get older and do more and more service. The better it gets. The better. The better. Then there's nothing else, only Krishna. So remembrance of Krishna is there. Serving the lotus feet of Krishna. That is our business. Worshipping him in his deity form, saying prayers, vandanam, then we are Krishna, are seeing ourselves as the servant of Krishna, dasyam, and we become friendly disposed towards Krishna. We're always trying to do what Krishna desires. Sakyam. And finally, Atmanivedam. We are surrendering mind, bodies and words to Krishna. So in this way, devotional service is there. And the essence is the chanting of Hare Krishna. Then, in order to make that chanting work nicely, we avoid the offenses against the holy name, which are mentioned in the Padma Purana. The first one is that we should not criticize the devotees. We should understand that the devotees are dear to Krishna. So to say something bad about devotees is not pleasing to Krishna. Even if there is a fault in a devotee, Krishna is not interested in that fault. Because Krishna sees the service that a devotee has done, said, "Oh, it's so nice." Just like a parent and a child, you know, I may say, "Oh, this child of yours is not nice." But the parent will only see, "Oh, this child is so nice." Cannot see the faults. Krishna doesn't see the faults. So we cannot criticize the devotees. We should see their good qualities. Second offense is to consider the names of Krishna or Vishnu just like the names of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. The names of Krishna or Vishnu are not the same as the names of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, who are devatas or demigods. It is said that when Hiranyakasipu asked Lord Brahma for immortality, what did Lord Brahma say? He said, "No, how can I give you what I don't have?" So Lord Brahma cannot give us immortality, which is the eternal benefit. And Lord Shiva, likewise, only Lord Vishnu can give us that. So why would we approach the devatas who can give us temporary benefits? No, we want eternal. And Krishna can give us love of God, of the residents of Vrindavan. So we want that also. Third offense is to disobey the order of our spiritual master. The spiritual master is our friend. He is our well-wisher. Surinam Sarvadehinam. There is a Sudrida Surinam. There is a deep friendship between us and the spiritual master. He's our well-wisher. Our ever-well-wisher. That means ever-well-wisher means whatever happens, he's still our well-wisher. Even if the disciple one day winds up in jail. May that never happen. But still, so if that happens, if Kalpana Mataji robs a bank and goes to jail, then I will come and bring some prasad. Because, but the real jail is the material world, and we want to get out of that material world. So that is our mission. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature. Vedic literature is either spoken by Krishna directly or by his great devotees, and therefore must be respected always. Fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to the imagination. We should know the holy name is Krishna, and therefore there's no limit to the holy name. See, there's no limit to Krishna. He could do anything, so the holy name also is unlimited. So there is no limit to the holy name. So there's nothing that cannot be achieved through the holy name. The holy name can give us everything, because the holy name is Krishna. And he is the merciful form of Krishna. So therefore, turning to that holy name, we should remember, Namdafi from Krishna. I can attain everything through the holy name. Sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name, to try and derive all kinds of symbolic meanings. But it is simple. The holy name of Krishna means Krishna, Yasoda Nandan, the son of Yasoda, Devaki Nandan, the son of Devaki. Nothing more. Simple as that. Seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. When we think, well, now that I'm chanting, now I can do anything. You can do anything. I can break every rule because I'm chanting anyway. No. I think the mantra is so powerful. So, if I commit sinful activities, I just chant, and it will be rectified. But that's not a fact. Because what will happen is, Krishna withdraws himself from the holy name in that case. Because the holy name is not some mystic mantra. The holy name is Krishna, and it's because Krishna invests his mercy in the name, that it is powerful. If Krishna withdraws his mercy, then we can chant and chant and chant and no result. So we must be strict about following vows of purity. No sinful activities. When I was in Vrindavan for many years, but then I got malaria 12 times in 1 year. And each time it takes at least 2 weeks to recover. So I was sick for half the year, seriously ill. And I had lost a lot of weight. I became very weak. So then they said, you should go to Australia. You know, that will be good for your health. So they sent me to Australia, and I came to Melbourne. And the first thing I saw in Melbourne was that the sparrows were twice as fat as an Indian. So I knew I'd come to the right place. Right? And the next day, the temple president asked me to pay back the ticket, and he had paid a ticket for me. He said, now you have to collect to pay it back. So I said, all right. So they sent me out with paintings. And I just came fresh from Vrindavan, and I was walking in the street in a factory area, and then I saw a sign, blood and bones, $20. And I was just looking at this sign and thinking, blood and bones? Whose blood? Whose bones? What is this? Next moment I walked into the factory, and it was a place where they were slaughtering chickens. They sent me to an area with paintings, to sell paintings in the factories, and they were all slaughterhouses. For 1 month I saw all these slaughterhouses. And during in that month I came to one place, and there they had a big kettle, and they had big bins, and in the bins there were heads and legs and tails of animals, and in that kettle they were cooking it until some substance. And those things, they go into the food as the E-numbers. So please read the E-numbers. I always read the E-numbers. After I saw that, I'm like, never again. So I read the label, and if I'm not sure that it's bona fide, I will not use. That is what we're promising. No meat, fish, or eggs. It means that. So strictness is needed in following these principles. The eighth offense is to think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is like Karma Kanda. So what is Karma Kanda? We know Karma Kanda is some ritual that brings material benefit. Oh, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, now I got initiated, and now I got sick. How is this possible? Why is this thing happening to me, oh Krishna? You don't care about your devotee? No, this initiation is not some karma kanda that will solve our material problems. This initiation will attract the mercy of Krishna. But material things, sometimes sukh, sometimes dukkha, happiness and distress will come. That's all right. That's okay. That we take for our purification. The essence is that by chanting Hare Krishna faithfully, we get the mercy of Krishna. Ninth offense is to instruct faithless persons about Krishna. We can tell everyone the knowledge of the Gita. We can tell everyone to chant Hare Krishna. And that's all. And what about Krishna and the gopis? That we don't discuss in public. That we discuss with devotees. Only not some. Big lecture for 100,000 people about the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, about Ras Lila. No, that's for the devotees. 10th offense, to maintain material attachments even after receiving so many instructions in this matter. It means that to maintain, to invest, when you're maintaining, I'm maintaining this pet. That's why he's very, I make him big and fat. I'm maintaining. So if we maintain our material desires, it means we are investing. What goes in must come out. It's law of nature. So we must be careful. You should not go after material things. So those are the 10 offenses to be avoided, also inattentive chanting to be avoided. So this lecture, these are our blessings on that. We're trying to give you so that you go into this initiation in a conscious way. Now procedurally, generally we first do Archman even before we restart the lecture, but somehow...